Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
We spend a lot of time cutting branches instead of dealing with the roots and really dealing with the core of who we are and really understanding that. And so really the primal question is what I call the thing underneath the thing that drives everything.
It's about time because we're going there. Welcome back to another episode of We're Going There. I'm your host, Bianca Wattis-Oltoff, and today I'm very excited because on the podcast, I have a friend, and I've mentioned this on podcast before. It's always fun interviewing people, getting to know people's stories, providing practical insights and help, but it's really, really different when those practical insights, helps, wisdom, revelation comes from people that you know. So first and foremost, I'm going to welcome Mike Foster to the show. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks, Bianca. It's great to be with you. I was just looking forward to this all week, so I'm glad to be chatting with you.
I have to brag, before we dive into like the practicals, I just want to brag on you and give honor where honor's due for just a nanosecond. So one of my favorite therapists, her name is Dr. Esther Perel. She says that we as humans evolve every 7 to 8 years and that the person that we were 7 years ago is not going to be the same person that we are today. And we were just talking before this and I've known you for roughly 14 years. 7 years later, I had like this big change in my life. And we were just talking about sitting outside of Bob Goff's like front yard area. And you were asking these pointed questions that making me think. And I really developed a sense of power, but the right sense of power and in owning the strength that God has given me and to walk in the purpose that he's like kind of like called me to, right? Well, here we are 7 years from that time. And I feel like the questions you were asking me 7 years ago have kind of launched you into the coach, the thinker, the leader that you are today. And so I want to say thank you for being one of the best question askers that I have ever met in my life. Welcome to the show. I'm so honored to have you.
Oh, thanks, Bianca. That's so kind. And I remember that conversation on Bob Goff's front lawn like it was yesterday. And what I love about those moments, and I'll just share this with everyone, is that 7 years ago, I'm not saying like I'm prophetic or I can see the future or anything like that. I actually just see truth in people, and I see the reality of who they are and who God made them to be. And it was so easy to stand there 7 years ago and see the door that was opening for your life and hopefully just giving you little bit of infusion of courage, maybe a slight little push to go for it because it was going to be an amazing ride. And it's so fun 7 years later to just watch you do your thing and the lives that you're impacting and the work that you're doing. It's just like so fun.
So I'm cautious with the word like prophet, right? Because there's a lot of people that will mess it up and, you know, make it something it's not. But I want to say for the last 14 years that I've known you, you have, in the truest form of the definition of the word, to prophesy means to speak life. And so by definition, Mike Foster, you speak life over people. What I'm believing is that in this conversation that we're about to have, what you did for me and what you do for countless others as a coach and as a thought leader, you are going to do for our podcast listeners today. So our time is valuable. Your time is valuable. And I am going to prophesy. I'm going to speak life and say that what you have done for me, you're going to do again for so many listeners. And so for those that don't know you, talk to me a little bit about your background. And I actually met you when you were doing nothing of what you're doing today. And so I'm always interested in the genesis and like the why, the beginning, like how did you get to be who you are today and what you do today. Will you take us a little bit on that journey?
Yeah. So what I do today is my Monday through Friday, and probably beyond into the weekends too, is just helping people work through their biggest challenges and blocks and really come alongside them and help them see more clearly. Like I always kind of say, I like to turn up the lights and blow away the fog, because once people can see what is true, what is real, how God wired them, the gifts that they possess, that there really is no stopping them and they can take action. But the problem is there's a lot of trauma, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of shame that we all carry that makes things very cloudy and confusing and foggy. And so what I do is just kind of come alongside and help people see. And I've been doing that. It's been funny. Like I've been doing it officially, like where people pay me money to do this, probably the past 5 years. Okay. Like in a real committed way, but I've been doing it my whole life.
Yes.
I just talked about like when I was doing it before I was doing it as a profession, I was doing it where people would say, hey, can I take you out to lunch? And can we talk for a few hours and have a 3-hour lunch? And then I'd pick up the bill and I'd be like, I love this. It's amazing. But I was like a bad business model. So now I call it negative revenue because I was like doing the work and also paying for lunch. So, but now I just get to do that. And I work with all kinds of clients, all the way from like Navy SEALs to pastors to Chick-fil-A owners, athletes, artists. I mean, just I love the people I get to work with and just being a thought partner with them, helping them really just live a life that is the life that they were always designed for.
Well, this is exciting. So I prepared a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask you, but even in just us talking about what you're up to now, your coaching and how you just call things out in people that maybe they didn't see in themselves. I want to talk about this season. We're talking about new beginnings. And yes. As I was listening to you talk about this primal question, it made me think like, wow, this is going to be so impactful for people as they're processing whatever new beginning they're entering into. Yes, this is the beginning. This is the new year. And we all think about new year, new you, new goals, new aspirations. But I do believe that there's a lot of people that are coming out of, you know, relationships ending, jobs ending, changing locations, changing communities, changing churches. And so I really want us, and you had mentioned challenges and starting over, challenges that might be stumbling blocks, and yet you created this framework. Talk to me about the primal question.
Yeah. So I think a lot of us in our lives, when we think about either starting over or life transformation, think of it like a tree. A lot of us will look at the tree and we'll start by trimming branches, clipping certain branches off that tree and thinking that will create the change that I want to see, or that will revolutionize my life, that will open up a whole new avenue. And I think, you know, unfortunately, we spend a lot of time cutting branches instead of dealing with the roots and really dealing with the core of who we are and really understanding that. And so really the primal question is, what I call the thing underneath the thing that drives everything. And if you understand the driver and the core driver of your life, and really the driver being your highest emotional need, the thing that with it, you feel grounded and you feel like it feels like oxygen, but without it, it feels like life is suffocating and you're dying and you're deflated. And so the primal question is really giving language to the command center of your emotional world. And what I do is I help people identify what that question is that they're asking. And what happens is when that primal question is answered with a yes, we're great. We feel great. We're our best selves. But when it's answered with a no or a maybe, we go into what I write in the book called the scramble. And the scramble is all the things that we do, all the unhelpful, dysfunctional choices, behaviors, things that we do to try to force the answer back to a yes. And so I'll give you an example. My primal question is, am I safe? Okay. And that primal question comes from an early child imprint of abuse, okay, sexual abuse. And so it was a family friend who was abusing me. And then I talked to my parents about what was happening. And we didn't really talk about it much after that. They didn't really give any reassurance or sense of protection. And so here I am as this little kid wondering if I'm safe. Okay. So what happens is that question was not answered very well in my childhood. Okay. It was unclear, or perhaps like trauma was answering that primal question with a no. So then I carried this question into my adult life. And I keep asking that question, am I safe? Am I safe? Now, this is the thing. Most of us don't know we're asking this question. we're doing things, we have behaviors, we have choices, we have triggers. We have all these this emotional stuff that happens, like when somebody does something to us and we don't understand why we're reacting the way we're reacting. Well, what's happening is my highest need for safety, my primal question of am I safe, is being answered with a no. I get triggered and I go into my scramble. What does Mike Foster's scramble look like? Well, it looks like hyper control, hyper vigilance. It looks like Mike Foster trying to predict and control every possible thing that could go wrong and make sure he has a backup plan for it. And so, you know, why do I get in arguments with my spouse, with my wife, Jennifer? Well, it's because when she answers my primal question with a no or a maybe, all of a sudden we now have conflict, okay? Because she's now having a relationship with a scrambled Mike instead of a grounded, healthy Mike. And so, Bianca, the whole concept is saying, what if you could understand your programming, okay? Mm. And what if you could understand your roots and no longer live at the mercy of that, or that like you're always on your heels reacting to it, but you could actually understand what you need, ask for that to be met, meet it for yourself, have God meet it, have being this living in this place where we no longer ask the question, am I safe? And there's seven questions total, but this is
okay. So this is, this is so much information right now. Okay. So somebody listening is like, I've never heard this. In fact, I'm listening yes. to you, Mike, and you break this down so simply. And so I want everyone to jump in and like get this at its core. So number one, what I heard you say is that if we can identify our highest emotional need, then we can figure out how to be grounded and healthy versus responding in a scramble. So let's go to yes. square one here. You said that there's seven primal questions. Walk us through these seven primal questions so then someone listening could be like, oh wait, no, that's my need, or that's my need, or that's my highest emotional need. Walk us through yes. what are the seven primal questions that we need to think through or that we can identify with.
Totally. And I'll go through them really kind of high level. And there's lots of different layers to this. By the way, this is like 4+ years of research, 6,000 hours of one-on-one interviews, 22 group labs. It's not just like a little idea that I have. There's a lot behind what I'm going to say to you. And it's going to hopefully feel very simple and resonate. But it's true. I'll just say this is absolutely true. And for us to embrace this truth about who we are and what our primal question is going to empower you to actually take control of your life.
I love
so
it.
So question go. Number one is, am I safe? This typically, and all of these questions get imprinted in our early childhood, okay? It's a question that we had as a child that it was either answered with a no or was confusing. And so again, we carry this into our adult lives. So am I safe? Typically, this childhood imprint is around trauma or chaos in your family. You didn't feel protected. You weren't safe. There was neglect happening. Mm-hmm. And so the natural question that you would have as a child is, am I safe? Okay. This is a need for protection. Question two is, am I secure? This is really the idea of perhaps you grew up in a home where there wasn't enough financial resource. And so the highest emotional need for question two, folks, am I secure? Is I have enough financial resource to protect me? Okay, so money is really important. They're checking their bank accounts. They get freaked out when the bank account gets past a certain number and bills and so their whole kind of lens that they see their life through is, do I have enough? Okay. Question three is, am I loved? Mm. This is about the highest emotional need to be known, to be seen, to be understood and listened to. My wife's primal question is, am I loved? And she grew up in a home where she was the fourth child. Hmm. And her mom never listened to her, talked over her at dinner. Wasn't interested in her. She's a latchkey kid. And so as naturally as a child, she's wondering, am I loved? Question four, am I wanted? This is a need to feel pursued, to belong, to be connected. Maybe you felt like an outsider as a kid. You felt like you didn't fit in and there wasn't a place for you. And so you just are asking the question as a child, am I wanted? A lot of times with divorce, when there's divorce in a family and one of the parents stops being engaged in the child's life, the natural question would be, am I wanted? Okay, do they want me? Question five, am I successful? This is about, typically they grow up in homes where they're competition and winning. And so these people are driven by success. When they feel successful, when they're getting a yes to the am I successful question, they feel great. But when they fail, they go straight into their scramble. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they overcompensate and they overperform and overachieve to try to get that answer back to a yes to be successful.
Okay.
Question six, am I good enough? This is around typically kids who grew up in critical, judgmental homes where mom was always pointing out your flaws, or she didn't like that outfit, or your hair's too short or too long. I always say, like, child actors probably all have question six because their whole life, you know, if you're a Disney star, you probably have the primal question of, am I good enough? Because there's this constant focus on you and your performance. Okay. And so they grow up to be adults who ask the question, am I good enough? And they tend to struggle with perfectionism. They struggle with trying to, they either feel very insecure, okay, like I don't belong here, or it gets expressed through sort of this narcissistic puffery, like they tell everybody how awesome they are. Okay. And both of those are coping mechanisms because of the primal question. And then question seven is, do I have a purpose? And this is really the need to have a life of meaningful impact. And interesting enough, Bianca, the research shows that kids who grew up in Christian homes, faith-based homes, typically have this primal question, because at the dinner table, there was this conversation about doing great things for God, right?
Yes.
Okay. Going to change the world. God's got his hand on my life. And that sounds amazing. Again, this isn't always trauma-based. It's just, as a child, you're confused. Well, what does purpose look like? You know, am I supposed to go build wells in Africa? And if I'm not building wells in Africa, then my life doesn't have purpose. I'm actually a used car salesperson. And so now I'm like not living up to my purpose. And so there's this angst around their calling and whether God even cares about them or if they're falling short. And so all of this is basically, what drives you? What is that question that you're trying to get answered by the world, by your spouse, by your friends, by your church, by whoever influences you, that when you get a yes, it feels good, but when you get a no, you go into your scramble?
Okay. So I have an eighth question.
Okay. Great.
The eighth question is, am I needy? Because I read all these seven. And I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like I can identify with all of them. I mean, I really messed up. That's why I love counseling. It's why I love therapy, prayer, Jesus. I'm here for it. I want to get better. Okay. But I mean, I'm just kidding about the eighth question. But like, if there are several that stand out, how do I identify which one is my primal question?
Yes. Okay. So all of them will all have parts of each question within us.
Okay.
Because these are just emotional needs of human beings. All right. God designed us to have these needs, all right? But there's one question that is really driving the ship, okay? There's one that is really the hot, what I would just call your apex emotional need, that is really the filter of how you see everything. So let's talk about you, Bianca. Let's turn this into a free therapy session.
Free therapy. I love free therapy. Okay, let's go.
As you think about those seven questions, what are the ones that resonate with you, or that feels like, you know, that could be me?
So my top three: am I safe? Am I secure? Am I good enough? Those ones three, like they just jump to the top. So am I safe because of early childhood trauma and sexual abuse, and also just our house being broken into, a peeping Tom in our backyard, confronted by gang members. I mean, there was a lot of these moments where, like, I just didn't feel safe or protected. Am I secure? The financial one really left an indelible mark in my mind. We struggled financially as a family. And I wouldn't say like homeless, but definitely working poor, also in ministry. So there's this like synonymous connection between like ministry equals poor. And so this question of like, who's going to protect me? And then lastly, am I good enough? And I probably some childhood stuff in there too. So those ones are the ones that kind of came to the top.
Yes, those are great. Okay, so let's start with question one and two. Now, one of the things that I talk about in the book is this whole idea of a satellite question. And it's really, you know, like the Enneagram has wings.
Yes.
Primal questions have satellites.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
okay.
The question next to the question would be your satellite question.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
So the fact that you're one and two, safety and security, are both important emotional needs for you. Okay. Mm. And so the way I'll explain how it works for me. So my primal question is, am I safe? Okay. But my having enough money and having enough financial resource is a conduit for me feeling safe.
Yes. Okay?
So Mike Foster needs a budget. Okay.
Yes.
Mike Foster needs money in the bank because otherwise he does not feel safe.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they're basically like they're connected. Those two concepts, those two emotional needs are connected and complementary. Okay. So let me ask you this. What happens when you don't feel safe? Like
hypervigilant. I create, and I'm a chronic, what's that word? Catastrophizer. Like I can walk into a situation and if something looks out of place, I think that there's danger. And then when there's danger, I go to panic and control. Like it is my system. I now see it. And like, I can walk into a dark room and I've already created a scenario. There's a murderer in here. I'm going to find a dead body. Like I've got to protect myself. And I actually been catching myself more recently just in going through some stuff that I'm going through and working with my counselor. And I'm like, where did this come from? Why is this my first, this is my first reaction. Got to protect myself. Got to protect myself. Where did this come from? And so,
yes. Yeah,
I'm kind of reverse engineering because I don't want to live like that. I want to feel like I'm safe. And then this is a new one for me that I could actually protect myself.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's huge. So what you're talking about. So if we could write a prescription for our primal question, it would be this: to take the question and turn it into a statement. It's what I call the primal truth. So am I safe? The question becomes, I am safe.
I am safe. Okay.
Am I secure becomes, I am secure.
Question.
Right? And one of the
coach.
Yes, please.
Coach, I have to ask this question. So at what point does it not just feel like positive talk? Like, you know, I am safe. Well, you know, I have 16 deadbolts and I have cameras and ring lights. I mean, I really don't, but I'm just saying like at one point, like, does it actually switch that it becomes believable rather than just a mantra or a statement?
Yeah. So one of the things that's important when we are talking about our highest emotional need is, number one, we just have to say this is real. Okay.
Okay.
And you and I do not live in a world where we're 100% safe or 100% secure. But what we don't want to have happen is for you, Bianca, to live in your scramble. Like, here's what I always tell myself. I have to remind myself that I'm 6'4", okay, and that I can protect myself. Because what happens is we still see ourselves as these wounded little kids who can't protect ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
And we're operating from this place of that, you know, not to get too therapy here, but that wounded child inside of us is making some noise and needs to be reassured, all right? And that's where the healthy adult part of us can come in and say, okay, hold on a sec, Mike. You're 6'4". Hold on a sec, Mike. You live in a suburb of San Diego, okay? You're not, you know, you have resources to protect yourself. You have friends that will part of your protection. You don't need to be afraid. Mike, you have figured out over all the years to pretty much how to make yourself feel more safe and protected. And so it's not just like positive affirmations. It's actually embracing truth.
Okay.
And that's what happens. The wounded child doesn't see truth. It just sees, it's actually quite confused, as a child should be when they're experiencing things that feel overwhelming or, you know, they don't understand. So it's not just affirming I am safe. It's actually bringing the data and proof points that we can stand on.
Got it. That's great.
So let me ask you this. if I could give you the thing that would make you most successful at what you do, most grounded, the best, if I was going to bring out the best version of Bianca, would I need to give you safety, security, or good enoughness?
I think security, because security, like self, or am I safe? If I felt like I had security, then I would feel safe. So I'm going to say my primal question is, am I secure?
Okay. So let me guess. Talk to me about your relationship with money.
Oh,
how you think about money.
Good grief. How much time do you have, brother? So money is a trigger for me. It's so funny because just this past weekend in teaching at church about the biblical understanding of stewardship and generosity and giving and tithing, I felt so awkward. I confessed to the church, like, I have done a disservice in preaching the full gospel because I do not talk about this. It makes me feel away. I feel like I don't have enough of it. I'm panicked. I have to have a budget. When we go off the budget, I'm panicked.
Yes, you're in your scramble.
I'm in my scramble. Some stuff went down a couple months ago and it sent me into a tizzy. Into a tizzy. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel protected. I didn't feel cared for. And it was around finances.
Yeah. Just as you described that, it feels like there's a lot of energy around the security question, and really security meaning the financial part of it. So, what do you need? So one of the things we want to ask ourselves in terms of the self-leadership, what does Bianca need to feel secure, to have her primal question of, am I secure, answered with a yes?
Oh my goodness. This is so crazy right now because I'm connecting the dots for the last decade of my life and realizing I have been, now we're getting really honest. Okay. So I've wanted to buy a house my whole life. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you make me cry all the time, Mike. There's something about being a daughter of an immigrant that feels like if I can own a house, then I'm safe. My God, I'm just connecting the dots right now. Oh my gosh. And so for a really long time, and I think that's what the good enough is not my primary. Maybe it's my tertiary question, but like, it's because I want to work. I want to accomplish. I want to walk in my purpose. And I want, you know, to get a paycheck for something that I'm passionate about doing and then be able to buy a house. And when I have a house, I'll be safe. And then I'll be safe because I could afford to put cameras in it. And then I could be safe and because I could afford to live in a good community. And so much is tied into, now I don't think that a house will make me feel secure, but money makes me feel secure because money could buy a house and money could provide protection and money could be in a zip code. I did not connect those dots at all. Whoa.
Okay. So that's what we're trying to do here in general is just like get Bianca clear on what drives her. And by the way, Bianca, for the desire to have money and to feel secure is a beautiful desire. It's a real desire. And let's not like pretend it's not there. Let's not ignore it. Let's not feel shame about that and feel like you can't talk about money at church, because let's just embrace it and say, what, knowing this about ourselves and knowing that as a core driver of who you are and how you pretty much see everything. Okay. The filter for like decisions about what you do with speaking engagements and dreams and purpose and
like literally, this is so funny. Yesterday I had a meeting with our executive pastor and we're talking about budget for 2024 and like what this looks like. And I'm literally like, I don't want to lead with a poverty mindset. I mean, I believe that God's provider, but there's a part of me that's like, we cannot mismanage God's funds. What does this mean? We need a building. We're growing. Mike, I cannot believe this. This has literally been a barrier for me for my whole entire life.
So let me ask you, so one of the things that's really, I think, just beautiful about understanding that piece of who you are and that part of who you are, I believe that's actually the way that God wants to relate with you in his relationship with you.
Stop.
I think God is trying to tell you, and the one thing he just wants to say to you is that, Bianca, you are secure. Ugh. You don't have to worry about money. I've got all the money in the world. Bianca, I just want you to, like, I think about, for me, my relationship with God. I interact with God around, he's my refuge. Mm. He's my fortress. Mm. He's my protector, right? Because that's what he wants to say yes to over and over again, right? In fact, God wants to say yes to all seven questions and wants to affirm that all the time. But with you specifically, probably the thing that he's probably trying to tell you the most is like, I got a checkbook here and it's got a lot of money in this account and you don't have to worry about this anymore. But you got to it's trusting him with that. It's allowing Bianca to move from the question to the primal truth. I am secure. I have the ability to make money. Okay. God has all the resource that I could ever need. You will be safe. Even if like money isn't all there, you know, you are secure and you are safe. Mm-hmm. But that's the shift. If you're just living in sort of unaware of this question that's driving your life, you're going to keep tripping over it over and over again. And unfortunately, what we do is we make not the best choices for our life. We don't show up in the meetings when we talk about budgets, and all of a sudden we're in our scramble versus living in our primal truth. That's why I'm so passionate about this work, is helping people understand what is the question you're asking and how do we get it affirmed with a yes.
Mike, I feel mind blown right now. And as you were talking to me, I just felt like I wrote down here on my notes, God is my provider. And I had like a lump in my throat when you were talking about like that he's the one with the checkbook. Like, I don't have to worry about that. This just feels so seminal about how I view a lot of things. I don't have time to get into it, but there was something that happened and I'm really looking back and I'm like, I was absolutely completely in my scramble. And had I been more aware and not defaulted to panic, I think that the situation would have gone so much better. So here's what I want as we kind of like, there's a lot to unpack here. I want people to, when I talk about a resource, I don't want people to think that I get some sort of kickback or that I get a percentage for every book that, you know, is sold. But for this book, for this conversation, I really want people to go to primalquestion.com. I feel like you threw so much information at us and unpacked so much. But as we kind of like round this up, once we realized the primal question and the primal truth, how now shall we live? What's next?
You know, knowing my primal question, I hope now you knowing your primal question, it's a transformational new lease on life. Because I can now live my life knowing why I get triggered. Okay. Why am I fighting with my spouse right now? Why am I over-indexing on a particular area of my life? Why am I not able to leave a toxic job and try something new? Okay. Like, understanding what is happening inside of us allows us to be the mature, healthy adult who can then make good decisions. You know, we're blowing away the fog. And so it is a great responsibility, because I think so often we get really comfortable in the scramble because we know it. We're really good. Our coping mechanisms actually work for us at some level. But now when we're like, oh, now I'm on to me, I know what's going on, there's a new responsibility to engage in a new way of living. Okay. I don't have to live scared. You don't have to wonder whether you're going to have enough money. My wife doesn't have to question whether she's loved. Bob Goff doesn't have to wonder if he's wanted, right? It gives us this whole new perspective in engaging in our relationships, in our parenting style, with God, with our spouse. It's just a new way to understand things. And I think one of the things that I'm most excited about is when you know your primal question, and then you know your friend's primal question or your spouse's primal question, and you can attune to that now. and look for beautiful ways to affirm it with a yes, it's just fun. It's so life-changing to relate to each other and say, you know what, I care about you as a person, Bianca, so I want to look for ways to help you feel secure. And not like you because you're weak or you're needy or anything like that. Because when I help you feel secure, we're more connected and you fly high. You are free to do everything that you're meant to do in life.
Mike, I am so grateful for you. Every time I talk to you, I feel like my mind is blown in three different ways. And I am very excited about the work that you have put out into the world. This project isn't just rooted in, you know, thought or simply scripture or simply experience, but it's a combination of all of this. And you can tell you've put hours into interviews, data, research, and therapy. I want to say thank you. I am so excited to get this book into the hands of listeners. In fact, this is the first giveaway that I've done all season, but for five, I believe in this book. And no, you're not going to, right now, everyone's going to hear this. You're not going to send me books to give away to people. I personally am going to go to Amazon and buy them and ship them to people because I believe in the message of this book. I feel like my mind's blown right now in just the 30 minutes that we've spent talking to each other. But for five lucky winners, I want you to tag Mike Foster 2000 on Instagram and at Bianca Olthoff, at Mike Foster 2000 and at Bianca Olthoff, and five lucky winners will get the book. If what you heard today has kind of opened up something or unlocked something, let Mike know. This is good content and I want to affirm good creation going out into the good world so we can affirm and applaud and encourage people to go further, faster, and farther. But Mike, I can't thank you enough for your time and your wisdom. I feel like we're just scratching the surface. Thank you for being a clairvoyant voice in my life. Yeah. I appreciate you. I'm excited to see where this book goes. I'm excited to see like how many people's lives are changed because we now know how to understand ourselves and understand others through primal question. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Bianca.